for you before. James is going to emphasize, James Capo is going to emphasize more the aspect of the colors and how the city is. I'll also read you a quote about the city. He'll talk more about it, and he does a wonderful job. That's why we have it up there. But let's look at Revelation chapter 21. After God says this lake of fire, everybody's going to be cast into the lake of fire, which looks like it will cover the whole earth. And notice verse 1 of chapter Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So whatever God did in renewing the surface of the earth, there was no more sea. Now, whether he means there's no more sea or no more water at all, ever, but anyhow, that indication, he cleanses it in Revelation chapter 21. It won't be blasted out of existence. It'll just be cleansed. Ecclesiastes 1:4, I believe, talks about the earth abides forever. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 4. Just so you have a reference, this is not ruining everything. One generation passes and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. So God's not going to just ruin the whole earth so there's nothing, no earth anymore. He blasts it out of existence. No, but he cleanses it. And who knows why? Is it to blot out any memories you may have of what happened in that particular place, or when people, you know, when spirit beings are dwelling there, that God can renew the whole surface of the earth? Possibly. But notice verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Later on, she's called the bride of Christ. So New Jerusalem is another aspect of the bride of Christ, not only the church, not only the saints collectively, but also New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. I have a quote on New Jerusalem from an article that I found. Yeah, New Jerusalem, the size of New Jerusalem. Dr. Wilbur M. Smith, in his book, The Biblical Doctrine of Heaven, gives us some insight from an engineer. According to the Bible, the future New Jerusalem is about 1,500 miles in each direction. It's a cube. It will give you an area of 2,250,000 square miles. This is a city. And it goes on to say, this makes it 15,000 times as big as London, England. 15,000 times as big as London, England. 20 times as big as the whole country of New Zealand. 10 times as big as Germany. 10 times as big as France. And it is 40 times as big as all of England, and even much bigger than India. So just that one city will be bigger than the whole country of India. Taking the number of people to a square mile in the city of London, the engineer computed that the city four square, that's the New Jerusalem, could hold 1,000 millions, or about 70 times the present population of the globe, just in that one city. Okay, so you're talking about a cube, and you'll see James Capo points it out as a cube, okay, and reminiscent of the Holy of Holies being like a cube. Okay, so he'll bring some of those comparisons. I thought I'd share that with you. All right, he sees New Jerusalem coming down. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Are there going to still be men there? No. Why? Let's read on. It's men who've become. So how do you explain that? Well, the people he's talking about, men, human beings on this earth, how do you explain human beings who now become spirit beings? So he's telling you human beings have now become spirit beings. Notice, tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Who be his people? All of those who are converted and changed to spirit beings. Notice, God himself shall be with them and be their God. How do we know these are spirit beings? Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. No more death. Hebrews 9:27 tells us it's appointed to all men once to die. So if these men are human, they're going to die. But God says there is no more death. No more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So these are all spirit beings children in his family who were human beings before, who were now spirit beings. How do we know that? No more death. And he sat upon the throne. And what you have to understand in Revelation 21 and 22, though they talk about the new heavens and the new earth, though they talk about New Jerusalem, every so often he'll interject, but you need to overcome and change and be there if you want to be in the kingdom. And every so often he'll interject comments to the reality of the people he's speaking to John, and for John to write so that we know that we have a part in that. So he says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, I behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful." God's words are true and faithful. Can we say that of ourselves? Can it be said of us? You are true and faithful. And verse 6, "And he said to me, it is done. It's over. Everything is finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." So again, there'll be life, life-giving spirit at that time, continuous supply of God's Holy Spirit. Verse 7, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things." There's one of those verses that comes in again to us, talking about, if you want to be there, you got to overcome. "He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I will be his God, and he shall be my son, and he'll inherit all things. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 talks about inheriting the universe. So you'll be his son and his daughters in that coming kingdom. Verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers," or those who are sexually immoral, "and those who are sorcerers and idolaters and all liars." God hates lying. Lying is one of the worst defects of character that you can have. "Liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. So again, he flashes back. He tells you there's the new heavens and new earth. Then he flashes back and says, "Now, if you want to be there, you got to do this." So keep that in mind. He's not talking to people. Once second resurrection comes and the third resurrection comes to the lake of fire, once that lake of fire consumes the earth, all humans will be dead if they're not spirit beings in the family of God. It'll be over. He said, "It is done." Then one of the angels said to me, verse 9, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, talk with me, saying, "Come here, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And then he goes on to show New Jerusalem. And you'll notice the colors of the stones. I did some searching on it before. He'll bring them out and show it to you better than I can do it. But jasper is green or red or striped. Sapphire is another color. Chalcedony, which is green basically. Emerald green. Sardonyx, which is kind of a red and brown layered. Sardius is blood red or ruby-like. Chrysolite is yellow. And they all stand for the different tribes. He'll bring that out as well. Beryl is kind of a sea blue or a sea green. Topaz is kind of a greenish gold. Chrysoprasus is light green. So I get the feeling God likes green. A lot of the colors are green. When I look out, what's the dominant color I see? Green. I get it that God likes green, because a lot of these colors have green shades to them. So I just thought I would share that with you. And they all may be the same as on the breastplate of the high priest, and they all stand for one of the tribes of Israel. So he'll bring that out to you, but I wanted to share that part with you as well. And you can look up colors, and you could find that as well. In Revelation 21, go to verse 22, skipping down from all the descriptions. Verse 22, he says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Being with God and being in his family is enough to be the temple. And skipping down, verse 23, it says, "And the city had no light, for God is the light, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So they won't have any need of light. God shines like the sun. Comment? Is there a mic? Here comes the mic. You guys are fast. I saw that on the film.
I've heard that this scripture in verse 23 also deals with the holy days, because it talks about Genesis 1, or it connects with Genesis 1:14 about that the sun and the moon are for the appointed holy days. I wanted to know what you thought about that.
I would not make that connection. I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't make that connection. Okay. You have to be careful just because it says there's a sun. So what does this mean? Neither the sun or the moon. So is God will be the holy day determiner or determination? What are we saying by that? Because since there won't be sun and moon to give their light, of course we'll be spirit beings in the family of God. Will we be still keeping the holy days as spirit beings who already know the plan of God, who already been teaching the plan of God, who already been living the plan of God, and who fulfilled the plan of God? I personally don't see that. I guess people can use that, but I don't. Okay, verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So again, verse 24, he talks about those saved will be there and bring blessings. Verse 25, the gates will be open, the gates of it shall not be shut by day, for there shall not be shut by night. They shall bring their glory and honor of the nations into it. So all those nations, remember what's God's purpose. In the millennium, he's going to be breaking in pieces and consuming all these kingdoms, Daniel 2:44. They're going to all be broken and become a part of God's kingdom, and they will bring their strength and their glory and their honor as human beings changed to spirit into God's family. Daniel 2:44. Verse 27, there shall be in no way enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatever works abomination or makes a lie. You get the feeling God does not like liars, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So who's going to be there? Only the righteous. No unrighteousness will be in that new Jerusalem when God comes back. Chapter 22, briefly. Chapter 22 is somewhat disjointed and doesn't flow like other chapters. John gives us a wrap-up after verse 7. He talks in verses 1 through 6 about how it is, but notice verse 7. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And by the way, there are seven blessings throughout the book of Revelation. One of them is that right at the beginning where he says, "Blessed is he who reads and hears the words of this book." And verse 7 is the sixth one. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And the seventh one is verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." So again, he's flashing back from verses 7 on through 21. He's giving you exhortations and information about, and verse 10 is interesting. He says, "Don't seal the words." Notice, "And he says to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." But what did he tell Daniel? "Seal up the words," Daniel 12. "Seal up the words of this prophecy. I don't want this to be known yet." But here he says, "Open it up, and everybody hear." So the book of Revelation kind of finishes it up, and he talks about worshiping God. Don't worship angels, but worship God. That's verse 9. Verse 12, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to what his work shall be." So when Christ comes back, he's going to reward his people. It's not that you work for the kingdom. Salvation is a free gift of God. But what you do and how you live life now will determine what blessings God gives you as a reward beyond. And then he says in verse 13, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." That tells you who it is, Jesus Christ. And he tells you in verse 8:15, "For without," so those who are blessed are those who keep his commandments. But verse 15, he says, "For without," those who don't get to make go into the city, New Jerusalem, "are sorcerers, are dogs, and sorcerers and whoremongers, sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie. He repeats that. Dogs were people, were considered to be savage. Dogs were also considered, let me see, I have a note on that. Dog was a term used for that which is savage and disgusting. Remember 2 Peter 2:22, the dog has turned to its vomit again. So it's used for that, was savage and disgusting. It was also used for a male prostitute and for Gentiles. And no lies will be there. One of the greatest character flaws is lying. Verse 16, this chapter, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And apparently bright and morning stars had to do with people who are heroes. My granddaughter, Megan, in Nebraska, she was just there 1 year. At the end of the year, she was called out among all the freshmen. I think there were about three of them out of the freshman class, maybe five. They were all called shining stars because of her academic and her character, recommended by teachers. So she got that follows her all the time of her from her freshman year on. She always be known as a shining star because she was of that designation that was given to her. So a bright and shining star, someone who excels, someone who's kind of like a hero. And then he says in verse 18, he says, for I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Pretty serious to add anything into the book. And verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that were written in this book. And then finally, verses 20 and 21, he says, he which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Now, God could say, I'll be there in a couple days. That's 2,000 years. God could say, I'll be there in 3 days. That's 3,000 years. God could say, I'll be there in 4 days. Remember, a day is as 1,000 years with God, at least. He doesn't count time the way we do. So quickly might be, you know, a long period of time. And verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. How does he end the book? Remembering the grace of God. You cannot be saved by what you do. You must be saved by God's grace to cover you your entire life. That doesn't mean you don't do anything. But what you do does not earn you salvation. It's the gift of God, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. But he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with Christ be with you all. Amen. And I think it's Feinberg points out that the last verses of Malachi, the Old Testament, if you take it the way it's written, not the way some people think it should be. And by the way, I'm not a fan of everybody who thinks that the Bible has to be in a certain order. There's some people that believe if you don't read the Bible in that order, there's something wrong with you. I'm sorry. God says it's here a little, there a little. It doesn't say you have to read it in this order or else you don't get the picture. You fall down that line, you're following down a line that's, I don't believe, is valid. All right, let's go to chapter 4. He says, of Malachi, verse 4. What does he remind people of? Remember the law of Moses, my servant. So the Old Testament, he tells you, remember the law. The law is good. The law is not bad. But what do you have that saves you from the effects of the law when you break it? The grace of God. Without the grace of God, you are dead. Because all have sinned, that means broken the law and fallen short of the glory of God. So I hope that just gives you a brief overview. I wanted to do that for you before we show the video. If we're ready to show it now, we'll begin with chapter 21. We can actually begin with where he starts to talk about the New Jerusalem. And I'll sit out here and be quiet.